he built 10 chapters in explaining what the function of the heart is in detail, using the parables of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and tackling the topic from many different angles to explain that the entirety of the function of the heart goes back to two things, which is the ability, and quwwatul idrak wa tamyiz, the ability to have a tasawwur, wal idrak wa tamyiz, the ability to know and perceive and grasp and be able to differentiate between what is right and wrong, beneficial and harm, correct and incorrect, truth and falsehood, and so on and so forth. Guidance and misguidance is the first function of the heart, the ability to know. And the second function of the heart is the ability to desire, quwwatul irada wal hubb, the desire to want and to love. And this is not just some speech, it just sounds good, but it is substantiated by a great deal of evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is not the place to go into that evidence. But this is the function of the heart, what the heart knows and what the heart wants. And so if the heart is ignorant of what is mandatory upon it, or if the heart hasn't fully digested and grasped what it has learned to the point that it has been affected in its action, the action of the heart, which is its desire, what it wants of the good, and being anxious to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to arrive safely in the hereafter and the likes of these things, has not been affected, then the heart is sick. And the heart is sick. So we're approaching the month of Ramadan. I think about these two functions of the heart, the ability to know and the ability to desire, where the desires of the person are brought into check, and his shahawats are curbed, his desires are curbed, his wants are curbed, he's broken. Especially when we're going to be fasting these 18-hour days, and you guys are here in the south. Tabarakallah. The Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha when she was making the Hajj, he said to her, radiyallahu anha, inna qadraki, or inna ajraki ala qadril mashakka, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your reward is according to the amount of difficulty. And so a person can do an act of worship and according to the level of difficulty, and the difficulty is not intended in the act of worship, but if it is found in the act of worship, a person is rewarded accordingly. So a person is going to be in the month of Ramadan, and his desires are going to be broken. And Ramadan was legislated to fast therein because it was a month that the Quran was revealed. And so a person's desires are brought into check, and a person is to spend his month reviewing the Book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, increasing in his knowledge. And so the entire month of Ramadan is a mustashfa for the person. It's a hospital for the person to cure himself. That's why when the person leaves outside of the month of Ramadan, not being forgiven by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the affair is very grievous. It's a grievous affair. It's a heinous affair. As is collected by Al-Imam Al-Hakim and Al-Saburi, and collected likewise by Ibn Hibban Al-Busti, and great to be authentic by Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, and there's a similar hadith reported in the Jami of At-Tirmidhi, but I want to mention this particular wording of the hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was climbing the minbar, and he said, man adraka Ramadan, where he said, Ameen. Angel Jibril, he said, man adraka Ramadan, falam yughfar lah, fadakhal an-nar, ab'aduhu Allah. Three things. Whoever reaches the month of Ramadan and is not forgiven on account of it, so he enters the fire. So he enters the hellfire. Despite the fact that he lived to see the month of Ramadan and fast and worship Allah in the month of Ramadan, فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ, he wasn't forgiven. فَدَخَلَ النَّارِ, and he entered the fire, أَبَعَدُهُ اللَّهُ, may Allah distance him far away from his mercy. So if a person doesn't correct themselves in the month of Ramadan, when are they going to correct themselves? That's why Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala, from the Imams of the Tabi'een, the scholars of Mecca, he said, مَنْ لَا يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فِي رَمَضَانَ لَنْ يُغْفَرَ لَهُ. that the person who is not forgiven in the month of Ramadan will never be forgiven. And it doesn't mean that a person should lose hope in the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so on and so forth, if they haven't improved after the month of Ramadan. But he's making a point. And the point is emphasized by Imam al-Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Lata'if al-Ma'arif. After he mentioned this statement, he said that if you have a tree, if a person has an orchard, and there's a tree in that orchard that during the growing season doesn't grow any fruit, then that tree is chopped down and turned into firewood. The tree in the growing season, in the season of growth and any fruitfulness and so on and so forth, it doesn't produce any thamarat, there is no fruits that come from it, then it's a useless tree. And so the tree will be cut down. And years ago I used to work on a tree trimming crew. We used to cut down trees and stuff like that, so I know a little bit about trees, right? And usually if a tree won't grow fruit, that means it has a sickness, it's diseased, right? That means it's diseased. And if you leave a diseased tree, I have in my backyard, I have a sick tree, and it's affected the tree next to it and the tree next to it. And the disease will pass from one tree to another tree to another tree. And so from intelligence, the person, and he's sahib al-hadiqa, a person who has an orchard, he's going to cut down the tree and turn it into firewood. That's from putting things in their proper place, right? That's from wisdom, to put everything in its proper place. And so we want to, as we hear these words of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, reflect upon what is being said as regards what brings life to the heart and the signs of the healthy heart. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, ومرض القلب أن يتعذر عليه ما خلق له من المعرفة بالله ومحبته والشوق إلى لقائه والإنابة إليه وإثار ذلك على كل شهوة. He said the sickness of the heart is that a person finds it impossible, is that the heart finds it impossible to do what it was created for, which is to know Allah, to love Allah, to be anxious to meet Allah, al-inabati ilayhi, to constantly turn to Allah, be in a constant state of journeying and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa isari dhalika ala kulli shahwa, and preferring that over every desire and lust that a person has that is harmful. فَلَوْ عَرَفَ الْعَبْدُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهِ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَيْئًا. If a person was to know everything but not know Allah, it will be like he knew nothing. وَلَوْ نَالَ كُلَّ حَذٍّ مِّنْ حُضُوذِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَذَّاتِهَا وَشَهَوَاتِهَا وَلَمْ يَظْفَرْ بِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّوْقِ إِلَيْهِ وَالْأُنْسِ بِهِ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَظْفَرْ بِلَذَّةِ وَلَا نَعِيمٍ وَلَا قُرَّةِ عَيْنٍ. If a person was to care for themselves everything that they ever wanted in this world, and the pleasures and blisses and lust and desires of this world, but they did not secure for themselves the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the anxiousness to meet Allah, and a comfort in drawing near to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then it will be as though they never acquired any pleasure or any bliss or anything that brought contentment and coolness to their eye. بل إذا كان القلب خاليا من ذلك عادت تلك الحظوظ واللذات عذابا له ولا بد. He said, and much rather, if the heart is empty of these things, of knowing Allah, loving Allah, being anxious to meet Allah, returning to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, finding comfort and drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the likes of these affairs, if the heart is empty of these things, then what the heart is connected to of its enjoyment in this world and its pleasures in this world will become a means of torment for the heart. And you see, the people that are the wealthiest of people are the most miserable of people. You find the people that, and they pursue their desires and their lust and so on and so forth, and that which they think will make them happy, that as soon as their money runs out, or as soon as they are by themselves, and need to reflect upon their own self if they are, and prevented from anything that they had connected their heart to, that they are the most miserable people, the most unhappy and unsatisfied of people. Manhumun fi dunya la yashba, as the Prophet ﷺ, he said, having a thirst and desire for this dunya is something that is insatiable, can never be satisfied. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his book, Idatul Sabirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and that's in this world, that it will be a means of torment for the person. When he was explaining the statement of some of the Salaf, when he said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ, the love of this world is the chief cause of every sin and mistake and misguidance and so on and so forth. He said, when the person connects his heart to the dunya, he will be tormented by the dunya in the dunya. And in the grave, the hem and the huzn and the gham that he feels, the sadness, the grief, the distress that he feels when he is cut off from his nadhat, they will do to his soul what the worms and the insects do to his body. تَعْمَلُ الْحَشَرَاتِ وَدُودُ فِي أَرْوَاحِهِ وَفِي تَعْمَلُ الْحَمُّ وَالْغَمُّ يَعْمَلُ الْحَمُّ وَالْغَمُّ وَالْحُزْنُ فِي رُوحِهِ مَا تَعْمَلُ الدُّورُ وَالْحَشَرَاتِ فِي جَسَدِهِ فِي قَبْرِهِ. It's a tremendous statement. Any person's body will be decomposed. Just as his body is being decomposed by worms and insects, his soul will be decomposed by his sadness and his grief because of his love of the dunya. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he goes on to say, فَيَصِيرُ مُعَذَّبًا بِنَفْسِ مَا كَانَ مُنَعَّمًا بِهِ مِنْ جِحَتَيْنِ. So he will be tormented by that which he used to enjoy from two aspects. مِنْ جِحَتِي حَسْرَةِ فَوْتِهِ وَأَنَّهُ حِيلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ مَعَ شِدَّةِ تَعَلُّقِ رُوحِهِ بِهِ. The first is the sadness of losing what he loses in his dunya, what he doesn't get in his dunya when he is cut off from the things of this world, and that he will be cut off from that which his soul had a severe connection to. وَمِنْ جِحَتِي فَوْتِي مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. And this is the lesser of the two. And the second is that he will be tormented from the direction of what he lost out on, that was better for him than the things of this world. وَأَنْفَعْ, was more beneficial for him. وَأَدْوَمْ, and more permanent and long-lasting for him. حِيثُ لَمْ يَحْصُلْ لَهُ. Inasmuch as that, he never acquired those things that were more important than the things of this world. In the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the forgiveness of Allah and His mercy and His paradise. فَالْمَحْبُوبَ الْحَاصِلُ فَاتْ وَالْمَحْبُوبَ الْأَعْظَمْ لَمْ يَظْفَرْ بِهِ. And that which was gotten of the things of this world that he loved are gone. And that which is more tremendous that he will someday love and wish that he had, لم يظفر به. He never got. وكل من عرف الله أحبه وأخلص العبادة له ولا بد. That was a weighty statement. And whoever knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person truly knows Allah, they will love Allah and make their worship sincere for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ولا بد. And that is something unavoidable. It's something inescapable. As a natural result of a person's knowing who Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is, which is the core of the religion, to know about the names and the attributes and the actions of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, His perfect attributes and His freedom of imperfection, on account of which He alone deserves to be worshipped tabarak wa ta'ala. The person who knows Allah will love Allah and single out Allah with worship, and that is unavoidable. وَلَمْ يُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْمَحْبُوبَاتِ. And he will not prefer anything else over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ آثَرَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْمَحْبُوبَاتِ فَقَلْبُهُ مَرِيدٌ. It's quite simple. Whoever prefers anything else that they love over Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loves, then his heart is sick. كَمَا أَنَا الْمَعِدَّةِ إِذَا اَعْتَادَتْ أَكْلَ الْخَبِيثُ وَآثَرَتْهُ عَلَى الطَّيِّبِ سَقَطَتْ عَنْهُ شَهْوَةُ الطَّيِّبِ. He said, just like a person, when their intestines, when their insides, their stomach is ill, and the stomach of a person is accustomed to eating that which is khabith, that which is unhealthy and filthy and disgusting, or that which is harmful for it, rather, that which is harmful for it. But a person, he becomes accustomed to that. A person, he eats fast food 5 times a day. And then he tries to eat a healthy salad, or he tries to eat some fruit or so on and so forth, that goes right through him. He feels ill when he tries to eat correct. He tries to eat food that is healthy for him. He said when the body is used to eating food that is khabith, that is filthy, that is impure, it will prefer food that is unhealthy and impure over that which is tayyib, over that which is pure and healthy and nutritious. سَقَطَتْ عَنْهَا شَهْوَةُ الطَّيِّبِ. And the desire for what is pure will be lost. وَتَعَوَّذَتْ بِمَحَبَّةِ غَيْرِهِ. And it will replace its love of what is pure for the love of what is impure. And likewise is the case of the heart. وَقَدْ يَمْرُضُ الْقَلْبُ وَيَشْتَدُّ مَرَضُهُ وَلَا يَعْرِفُ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ لِاشْتِغَالِهِ وَانْصِرَافِهِ عَنْ مَعْرِفَةِ صِحَتِهِ وَأَسْبَابِهَا. Perhaps the heart may become ill. Perhaps it may become severely ill and the person doesn't even realize, because he is too preoccupied and too busy to know what will bring health to his heart and the means that are connected to the health of his heart. بَلْقَدْ يَمُوتُ وَصَحِبُهُ لَيَشْعُرُ بِمَوْتِهِ. Or rather, a person's heart may die and he may not even realize. وَعَلَامَةُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَا تُعْلِمُهُ جراحات القبائح ولا يجيعه جهله بالحق وعقائده الباطلة. The sign of that, if a person wants to know, how can a person realize that their heart has died without their realizing that it has died? How can a person know if their heart has died without realizing that? He said the sign of that is that the جراحات القبائح, any that the wounds inflicted by disgusting behavior no longer cause pain to the heart. The wounds inflicted by disgusting behavior no longer bring pain to the heart. The person becomes desensitized to everything from themselves or from other people. They live in the land of kufr and munkarat, the land of ibahiyat al-mutlaqa. Everything is permissible. Permissive attitude towards everything. Even if you don't like it, they want you to be pleased with it. وَالْرِضَى بِشَيْءٍ حُكْمُهُ حُكْمُهُ. And this is something that will destroy his heart without a doubt. Being pleased with a thing takes a ruling of that thing. Being pleased with kufr is kufr. Being pleased with shirk is shirk. Being pleased with bid'ah is bid'ah. It's a very dangerous affair. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the wounds of disgusting behavior, they no longer hurt his heart. Wallahi, some of the salaf, they said, رُبَّمَا أَرَى مُنْكَرًا لَأَسْتَطِيُّ تَغْيِيرَهُ فَأَبُرُ دَمًا. One of the salaf, he said, sometimes I see a munkar, I don't have the ability to do anything about, and it causes me to urinate blood. That's from somebody else. They see somebody else doing munkarat, evil acts, and it causes an effect physically upon them, that they urinate blood. He said, perhaps a person, his heart can die without even realizing. And the sign of that is that the wounds inflicted upon his heart by disgusting behavior no longer hurt him. وَلَا يُجِعُهُ جَهْلُهُ بِالْحَقْ وَعَقَائِدُهُ الْبَاطِلَةِ. And his ignorance of the truth and his false beliefs don't cause him to anguish. فَإِنَ الْقَلْبِ إِذَا كَانَ فِيهِ حَيَاةٌ يَأْلَمُ بِوُرُودِ الْقَبِيحِ عَلَيْهِ. Because so long as the heart is still alive, it will feel pain when it is presented with that which is disgusting. وَيَأْلَمُ بِجَهْلِهِ بِالْحَقْ بِحَسَبِ حَيَاتِهِ. And it will feel pain on account of what it is ignorant about concerning the truth. And his ignorance of the truth will hurt it. A person when he is faced with a situation, when he is faced with a crisis, when he falls into sin and disobedience, and he realizes how much he is ignorant of. Even though he may know things are right or things are wrong, he violates what he knows and so on and so forth. He finds himself in a situation of talawun, of flipping back and forth, taking one position one year and another position another year. One year they were adamant about certain affairs, another year they were lackadaisical about those same affairs. One year the affair of picture taking and indulging in false entertainment and so on and so forth, it was something that was abad shay minhu, the farthest thing from him. And next year he is munhamikun fi, he is immersed in that thing, he is drowning in that affair. The person, he finds himself going back and forth, a situation of energy and futur, and he's strong one year, the next year he's weak, so on and so forth. And he knows that the only reason that he falls into those affairs is because of his ignorance. As is stated by Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. Whoever disobeys Allah is jahil. Whoever disobeys Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is jahil. And he is ignorant. Even if he knows, he doesn't know what he thinks he knows. If he was certain about the names and the attributes of Allah, certain about the greatness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the magnificence of Allah, the power of Allah, the punishment of Allah, the promise of Allah, the threat of Allah, the orders of Allah, the prohibitions of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he won't fall into sin and disobedience. And so he realizes his jahl, and it hurts him. It's a sign that his heart is still alive. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَاتُكَ وَسَأَتْكَ سَيِّئَاتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And so long as you are pleased and happy because of your obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and you are discontented and displeased and upset because of your disobedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Many of the shurah of hadith, the explainers of this hadith, they said, A musaddiq, and in this place, mu'min here means musaddiq, meaning that you are musaddiq, that you believe, you have tasdiq, you have an affirmation, a belief, you believe the trueness of the wa'ad of Allah and the wa'id of Allah, of the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, that resonates in your character and your behavior. He said, and so long as a person is not any longer feeling the pain of, on account of their ignorance of the truth, but he said rather, and so long as Allah has life, it will feel pain on account of his ignorance of the truth, bihasabi hayati, according to the degree that it is alive. Wa ma li jurhin bi mayyitin ilam. And a wound cannot hurt a person who is dead already. And if a corpse, if a person was murdered and he was dead already, a person inflicted a wound upon him, it's not going to hurt him. Sometimes when I mention this line of poetry, which is Ajz al-Bayt, it's the second half of a line of poetry that says, وَمَنْ يَحُنْ يَسْحَلُ الْحَوَانُ عَلَيْهِ. And whoever is already humiliated, then is a simple thing, it's an easy thing for him, it's acceptable for him to be further degraded and humiliated. وَمَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتِينَ إِلَامٍ. And a wound cannot harm a person or hurt a person who is dead already. Some people, they say, what about the hadith that breaking the bone of the living, the dead person is like breaking the bone of the living person? And this actually comes up, unfortunately, in some of our cities. We still have Muslims. We have Muslims who live in crime-ridden, crime-infested neighborhoods, where sometimes even the Muslim children, young children, get killed. And some of our brothers who attend Jummah with us in our masajid, they get killed, and we have to pray over them. When there's a homicide case, they have to do an autopsy by law in many cases. So a person, they're afraid for their loved one. They mention the hadith, breaking the bone of the living is like breaking the bone of the dying is like breaking the bone of the living, thinking that it means a ta'allum, that they feel the pain. The hadith, it means the hurma. It means the inviolability of the body. that you cannot violate the body of the dead just like you cannot violate the body of the living. That's a side point. A person who is dead doesn't feel pain anymore. And so this is a sign that the heart is dead. And once the heart has died, if you inflict a wound upon it, it doesn't feel anything. It doesn't feel anything. وَقَدْ يَشْعُرُ بِمَرَضِهِ وَلَكِنْ يَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِ تَحَمُّلُ مَرَارَةَ الدَّوَاءِ وَصَبْرِ عَلَيْهَا. He said, and a person may realize that their heart is sick, but it is very difficult for them to bear the bitterness of the medicine and be patient with it. Be patient with their medicine. فَيُؤْثِرُ بَقَاءَ أَلَمِهِ عَلَى مَشَقَّةِ الدَّوَاءِ. And so they prefer for the pain to remain that they feel on account of their sickness over the difficulty of remedying themselves and taking their medicine. فَإِنَّ دَوَاءَهُ فِي مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَىٰ. For verily, the dawa, the cure of the heart, is in opposing its desires. وَذَلِكَ أَصْعَبُ شَيْءٍ عَلَى النَّفْسِ. And that is the most difficult thing for the person. وَلَيْسَ لَهَا أَنْفَعُ مِنْ. And there is nothing more beneficial for the person than it. وَتَارَةً يُوَطِّنُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الصَّبْرِ ثُمَّ يَنْفَسِخُ عَزَمُهُ وَلَا يَسْتَمِرُّ مَعَهُ لِضَعْفِ عِلْمِهِ وَبَصِيرَتِهِ وَصَبْرِهِ. And sometimes a person trains himself to be patient, and then he loses his resolve, and he doesn't persist in what he was doing because of the weakness of knowledge, and the weakness of his vision and foresight, and the weakness of his patience. كَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي طَرِيقٍ مَخُوفٍ مُفْضٍ إِلَى غَيَّةَ الْأَمَنِ. Like a person who enters into a road, a street that is frightening, a terrifying street, that once a person gets to the end of that road or path, he will be at the epitome, the highest level of safety. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ إِنْ صَبَرَ عَلَيْهِ إِنْقَضَ الْخَوْفُ وَعَقَبَهُ الْأَمَنِ. And he knows that if he can be patient until he reaches the end of that road, that the fear will go and it will be followed by safety. فَهُوَ مُحْتَاجِ إِلَى قُوَّةِ صَبْرٍ. So he needs two things. He needs the strength of patience. He needs strong patience. وَقُوَّةِ يَقِينٍ بِمَا يَصِيرُ إِلَيْهِ. And he needs to have strong certainty about that which he is journeying towards. And what he is going to arrive at. وَمَا تَضَعُفَ صَبْرُهُ وَيَقِينُهُ رَجَعَ مِنَ الطَّرِيقِ. Well, if his patience and his certainty is weak, he's going to leave the path. وَلَمْ يَتَحَمَّلْ مَشَقَّتَهَا. And he's not going to be able to bear the difficulty of being upon the path. وَلَا سِيَّمَا إِنْ عَدِمَ الرَّفِيقِ. Especially if he doesn't find anyone to travel with him. If he's all by himself, if he doesn't have any company. وَاسْتَوْحَشَ مِنَ الْوَحْدَةِ. And he feels the desolation and despair of loneliness. وَجَعَلَ يَقُولَ أَيْنَ ذَهَبَ النَّاسِ فَلِي بِهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ. And he starts to say, where did everybody else go? I was following them. As the state of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, لَا تَكُونُ إِمْعَةً. And he don't be a إِمْعَةً. تَقُولُ أَنَا مَعَ النَّاسِ. You always say, I'm with the people. If people believe in آمَنُوا آمَنْتُ وَإِن كَفَرُوا كَفَرْتُ. And if they believe, I believe. If they disbelieve, I disbelieve. And a person, his religion is not connected to the people. As is stated by Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he said, إِنَّ أَغْلَى شَيْءٍ عِنْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ دِينُهُ لَا يَتْرُكُهُ فِي الرِّحَى وَلَا يَأْتَمِنُ عَلَيْهِ الرِّجَالَ وَلَا يَأْتَمِنُ عَلَيْهِ الرِّجَالَ. He said that the most valuable thing to the believer is his religion. He doesn't leave it behind anywhere that he goes. He doesn't leave his religion behind. And he doesn't leave it in the care of other men. But rather, the men are known by way of truth, and truth is not known by way of men. As a statement of Ali, radiallahu anhu. So he doesn't say where the people go. I was following the rest of the people. وَهَذِهِ حَالُ أَكْثَرًا خَلَقٍ. This is the situation and the scenario and state of the majority of people. وَهِيَ لَتِي أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And this affair of a lack of patience and a lack of certainty is that which destroyed them. فَالْبَصِيرُ الصَّادِقُ لَا يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنْ قِلَّةِ الرَّفِيقِ وَلَا مِنْ فَقْدِهِ. And a person who has vision, who is determined and genuine in their endeavor, لَا يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنْ قِلَّةِ الرَّفِيقِ. And he doesn't despair because he has few people with him on the path accompanying him. وَلَا مِنْ فَقْدِهِ. Or no one. إذا استشعر قلبه مرافقة الرعي للأول. When his heart realizes that he is in the company of the earliest generations and best generations of Islam, he is upon the way of the Salaf and they are his company. And he will be with them. With those people أنعم الله عليه من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. That Allah has blessed from the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous, and they are the best of company. فَتَفَرُّدُ الْعَبْدِ فِي تَرِيقِ طَرَبِهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى صِدْقِ الطَّرَبِ. A person being all by himself and the path that he is pursuing, as long as he is upon the truth, is his genuineness, is the evidence rather for the genuineness of his pursuit, that he is genuine and true and authentic in what he is doing. وَلَقَدْ سُئِلَ إِسْحَاقِ بِنُ رَحَوَيْ عَنْ مَسْأَلَةٍ فَأَجَابَ عَنْهَا. فقيل له إن أخاك أحمد بن حنبل يقول فيها بمثل قولك فقال ما ظننت أن أحدا يوافقني عليها ولم يستوحش بعد ظهور الصواب له من عدم الموافق. He said that the Imam of Khurasan in the time of the Tabi al-Atba', the fourth generation of Islam, Ishaq ibn Rahaway rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked about a question. The Imam of Khurasan, after Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, the Imam of Khurasan, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, who was the friend of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala and his peer, he was asked about a question. And he gave his answer to the question. It was a question concerning the adhan. And he gave his answer. And then somebody said to him that your brother, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he said the exact same thing in response to this question. Ishaq ibn Rahaway, he said, I didn't think that there was anyone who held the same position as me. He said, وَلَمْ يَسْتَوْحِشْ. But he didn't feel any particular way because he didn't have anyone who agreed with him on the issue. Because he had evidence. In this particular issue, he had a hadith. He had a hadith. And in this particular issue, and he made a tremendous statement when it was said to him, why didn't he have the ruler instruct the mu'adhineen of the masjid and so on and so forth to do a particular thing in the adhan that he had evidence for? He said a statement. He said, "Inna al-khawra qatalat al-anbiya." The ghawra, or the qatulat al-anbiya, the ghawra, the troublemakers in the community, are the ones who killed the prophets and the messengers in the past. If I was to come with this statement of mine, and none of the other scholars are calling to this statement, these people may shed my blood and call me a mubtadi'. They may call me an innovator and shed my blood. Because I'm not in the position that they're used to. Let's say that I fabricated the hadith kadha to the end of it. Whatever the case. And he didn't feel any particular way once the truth and what was correct was evident to him, because he didn't have a muwafiq, because no one agreed with him. فَإِنَ الْحَقِّ إِذَا لَاحَ وَتَبَيَّنَ لَمْ يَحْتَجْ إِلَى شَاهِدٍ يَشْهَدُ بِهِ. Because once the truth is abundantly clear to a person, he doesn't need anyone else to verify the truth for him. And as they say, that the scholars are like the stars in the sky that direct a person to the direction that he needs to go. And once a person knows his has reached his destination, and he doesn't need the stars in the sky. And the scholars, the statements of the scholars, and they are in need of evidence, and they are not evidences in and of themselves. And that is the situation of the scholars. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, once the truth is clear, a person doesn't need somebody else to come and verify the truth. If a person knows with certainty that they have arrived in the truth and at the truth in the issue, even if no one else held their position. That's why it is not correct to say that the Jamhur, the Qawl al-Jamhur, is the Ijma. That the statement of the majority of the scholars is an Ijma. Because even though Ani al-Aktharia madinnatu sawab, as the scholars, they say that it is likely that, and it is imagined and supposed that the majority of scholars will always have the correct position. However, there are certain issues in fiqh, certain issues in fiqh where a minority of scholars have the most correct view. A minority of scholars may have the most correct view. He says, so a person doesn't need anyone to verify and validate the truth once he knows with certainty what the truth is. He has evidence from the book and the sunnah. فَالْقَلْبُ يُبْصِرُ الْحَقَّ كَمَا تُبْصِرُ الْعَيْنُ الشَّمْسِ. So the heart, he says, it sees the truth just like the eye sees the sun. فَإِذَا رَأَى الرَّائِيَ الشَّمْسِ لَمْ يَحْتَجْ فِي عِلْمِهِ بِهَا وَاعْتِقَادِهِ أَنَّهَا طَالِعَةً إِلَى مَنْ يَشْهَدُ بِذَلِكَ وَيُوَافِقُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And we'll close with this. He said, and once a person sees the sun, he doesn't need anyone while he knows and believes and is, has conviction and is certain that the sun is shining. He doesn't need anyone to bear witness and attest to the fact that the sun is shining and agree with him. The fact that the sun is shining. And we'll continue tomorrow reading, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, from this tremendous section. And this chapter, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala brings here, the importance of this chapter is demonstrated to us by the fact that one of the imams of the Da'at al-Salafiyya and Najdiya, and he one of the imams of the Da'at al-Salafiyya and Najd in the previous generation, is Sheikh Sulaiman ibn Sahman, rahimahullah ta'ala. He wrote an entire mandhuma, not very lengthy, but a mandhuma, a poem. It's a few pages long, but it's about a page and a half long, rather, explaining this chapter or summarizing this chapter. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions around 11 things are the signs of the healthy heart. Around 11 things are the signs of the healthy heart, and 6 affairs in particular. And he sittu mashahid, and he 6 affairs that are from the signs of the healthy heart. We'll continue tomorrow morning. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.